Once there was a tree, and she loved a boy. And every day the boy would come, and he would gather her leaves and make them into crowns and play king of the forest. He would climb up her trunk and swing from her branches and eat apples. And they would play hide and go seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree very much. And the tree was happy. So begins the beloved story of The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. It's a short little story with a simple message of love. Over and over, as the boy grows up, the tree gives of herself to make the boy happy. Apples for him to sell to make money. Branches to build a home for his family. A trunk to make a boat to sail away. And finally, a stump to rest on. The tree responds to the boy's needs, not for some reward, but simply for the joy of making him happy. There are some echoes of the giving tree in today's scripture passage. At its most basic, the story we just heard about the sheep and the goats is a personal message to each and every one of us who call ourselves followers of Christ, to live out our faith by giving unselfishly to the least of these. Such a simple message, and yet so challenging. But the simplicity of this message, that caring for the needs of others is how Christians live out their faith, is sometimes overshadowed when we read this scripture passage. The tale of the sheep and the goats is well known, partly because it is one of the most vivid and dramatic stories Jesus tells. It appears at the end of chapter 25 of Matthew's gospel, and it's the very last message that Jesus shares with his followers, just before the Last Supper, the arrest, and the crucifixion. In many ways, this story is the climax of Matthew's telling of the story of the life of Jesus. And it has a very different feel than many of the stories before it. Many of the earlier stories in Matthew's gospel are parables, where Jesus uses everyday objects, a wineskin, a seed, sheep, a lamp, salt, to make deeper points about living a life of faith. But this story is a prophecy of what's going to happen at the second coming, not just a parable told to illustrate a point. Jesus begins with a grand picture of the coming of the new age, a time that all of his followers are waiting for. When the Son of Man comes in all his glory and all the angels with him, that he will sit on the throne of his glory, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as the shepherd separates sheep from his goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats at the left. It's a dramatic picture, and this is a story that's unique to Matthew's gospel. Jesus talks throughout the Gospels about the coming kingdom of God that will be different from the evil of the current day. But Matthew's Gospel is the only book that shares such a vivid picture of what will happen when the Son of Man comes. This is also a story of contrasts, sheep and goats. Jesus tells his followers that the sheep will be blessed by God and inherit the kingdom, and the goats will be cursed and sent to the eternal fire. The followers who were listening to this story would have understood the difference between sheep and goats. Shepherds in ancient Palestine would often be in charge of both sheep and goats. During the day, the shepherds would allow them to intermingle, but at night they would leave the sheep to sleep in the open air, and they would herd the goats into a stable because the goats needed the warmth of close quarters. Jesus' followers would have also known why it's better to be a sheep than a goat. Sheep are quiet and easily led, yet they're also loyal and live in herds. The male sheep protect the females in the face of danger. Goats tend to be independent, headstrong, and aggressive, and they don't protect their mates from danger. The word goat was widely used as a derogatory term in biblical times, as a symbol of a selfish and undisciplined life. Even as Jesus began to tell this story, the listeners would have recognized they wanted to be sheep, not goats. The idea of the coming of the Son of Man was also familiar to the people hearing this story. The Jewish people of ancient Jerusalem had been waiting for the Messiah and for the new kingdom of God for a long, long, long time. They told stories about it for thousands of years, and they had a clear picture of what it would be like. A new leader, the Christ, the Messiah, would appear with trumpets and fanfare, and everybody would recognize them, and they would be a great military leader. So when Jesus told this story and told people that they had already fed the Messiah when he was hungry and clothed him when he was naked, they were confused and asked, "Lord, when did we care for you?" What they were thinking was something like, "We haven't seen a new king yet. This world doesn't appear to have changed much. How can this be the coming of the new age we've been waiting for?" And the explanation Jesus gave of why some were rewarded and others banished was kind of startling. Those on the right, the sheep, didn't inherit the kingdom because Jesus was a powerful leader, because they'd listened to Jesus' preaching, or accepted Jesus into their hearts, or because they'd shared the good news with a certain number of people. No, those who inherited the kingdom did so because they had spent their lives helping the least of these meet their basic needs. They fed the hungry. They gave the thirsty something to drink and the naked something to wear. They welcomed strangers, visited those in prison, and took care of people who were sick. They took time to notice those who were hurting, to recognize their needs, and to care for them. And the ones on the left, the goats, did none of these things. So is Jesus telling his followers and us that our place in God's kingdom must be earned through good works? In other words, if we want to get into heaven, do we need to go out, find people who are needy, and help them? Not exactly. Jesus makes it clear from the beginning of this story that the kingdom of God has been prepared for us, each and every one of us, from the beginning of time. We don't have to earn God's grace or do a certain number of good deeds to impress God. So what does this scripture passage mean for us today here in Lawrenceville, Georgia? There are at least three important lessons in the story about the sheep and the goats that can help us better understand how to live our lives both as individuals of faith and as a church community located in a growing multicultural community that really needs us. The first lesson is that caring for others is how we live out our faith in a loving God. The sheep weren't feeding the hungry and caring for the sick in order to impress God, to look good in front of Jesus, or to earn a reward, but because caring for others was a deeply ingrained part of who they were. And they weren't visiting those in prison to impress God, but because they were focused on the needs of others rather than on themselves. In ancient culture, prison was a place where people were held awaiting trial instead of a place for long-term punishment like it tends to be today. When someone was imprisoned in ancient times, their family was expected to provide the prisoner's food, clothing, and other basic needs. Prisoners who didn't have family had to rely on the kindness of neighbors or strangers to survive. The sheep who visited the prisoner in this story were caring for people who had nobody and nothing else. This type of caring is a way we respond to the grace of our generous God. The second key lesson is that ministry is messy and challenging, and sometimes takes us to places that are uncomfortable. The sheep in this story stepped outside their comfort zone to help those who needed them. In the same way, we are called to move what is beyond what is familiar and comfortable inside our church building to minister to and with those who need us. Our faith would be easier if God just called us to gather in this building and pray, or meet with people who are just like us and talk about our common beliefs. But this passage makes it clear that we are called on to leave our comfort zone and go help those in need. All of us, not just me, are ministers because we have accepted the call to follow Jesus, and we have the responsibility to live out our faith actively. Failing to notice those around us who need help just to survive and provide for themselves and their families, or seeing them and failing to respond makes us like goats rather than sheep. I have no idea what it's like to be hungry. Oh, I've experienced temporary hunger many times in my life. The it's almost noon and I skip breakfast kind of hunger, or the boy, that soup smells good and I can't wait to eat it kind of hunger. That hunger is uncomfortable and inconvenient when it happens, but I've never truly experienced hunger. I've read about it. The deep gnawing ache that Katniss describes in The Hunger Games when she talks about a hollow day where she and her sister simply don't have enough to eat. I've heard the stories from others. The worry of a parent who has lost their job and now cannot feed their children tonight or tomorrow or for the rest of the month. And I've seen it in the desperation of a man I saw in Long Beach a few summers ago, pulling discarded food scraps out of the trash can on the street and stuffing them into his mouth. Thousands upon thousands of God's children go hungry every day, including children in the community around us. And many more are homeless or sick or strangers who feel unwelcome. Sometimes the needs of the world feel overwhelming. When we feel like there's just too much need around us, it's tempting to just look away and pretend we don't see. How do we know who really needs us and who doesn't? Do we need to give money to every homeless person standing on the street corner holding up a sign that asks for help? Should we send money to every organization who shares a video of hungry children on television? What about the organizations that show sad pictures of sick puppies and kittens? Does God expect us to save all of them? How can each of us find a balance where we are genuinely caring for the least of these without being so overwhelmed by the needs of the world that we can't do anything? This story makes it clear that we're called to notice and respond to the needs of those around us, but sometimes that feels hard. The good news is there's a third important lesson in the story of the sheep and goats, a lesson of grace and a lesson of community. God knows that we are all human, and none of us is perfect in noticing and responding to people's needs. The good news is we're not alone as we go out into a world that's hurting and needy. God is with us as we reach out and help. God expects us to show compassion and help those who need us, but God does not expect any of us to take on the task of feeding the world or caring for everyone who's sick by ourselves. As a community of faith, we have the responsibility to minister to God's children who are suffering by meeting their physical needs as well as their spiritual ones. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. explained it well when he said, "Any religion which professes to be concerned with the souls of men and is not concerned with the slums that damn them, the economic conditions that strangle them, is a dry as dust religion." We're not a dry as dust religion. Here at Lawrenceville First and in other church communities across the United States, Christians are coming together to live out their faith by helping others. During the pandemic, groups of churches and dedicated individuals around the country recognized that many children would not have breakfast or lunch while schools were closed. They organized food drives and pickup locations and delivery programs and fed thousands of school-aged children every weekday for months. Our neighbor Union Christian Church in Watkinsville provides Thanksgiving food boxes to 50 or more families each November and has been doing this for more than 15 years now. Many of you have helped feed the hungry through your donations to the food pantry, through volunteering for organizations like Meals on Wheels, and through many other ways of helping. As a community, we are helping feed those who are hungry. And our community is providing shelter for those who have no place to live. This church provides space for Family Promise, which helps families experiencing homelessness regain their dignity and financial security by helping provide temporary shelter, food, and other necessities as the families work toward stable employment and housing. Providing space, donating items families need, and participating in fundraisers like their annual bed race are all ways we can partner with Family Promise to live out part of the call to care for the least of these. We also care for others through our blanket Sunday donations for Church World Service, our school supply donations, providing space for blood drives, and there are many, many more examples around us of individuals and groups living out their faith. The need around us is great, and Jesus himself reminds us to feed the hungry, visit the lonely, and take care of the sick. As a church community, we're exploring new ways of being church together. We are leaning on our lay leaders to help guide us forward. It's an exciting time, but also a bit of an uncertain time. And sometimes during times of change, it's tempting to close ranks, to huddle together as a community, to get rid of outsiders, and to just focus on ourselves. This passage from Matthew's gospel reminds us that just taking care of ourselves is not what Jesus calls us to do. Connecting with others is the most important way to be church together. The story of the sheep and the goats is a clear call to be other-focused, to step outside our walls and our usual ways of being church, and to do things that may make us uncomfortable in order to reach those who need us most. And it's a call to each and every one of us, whether we're 2 or 6 or 16 or 60 or 90. My message for each of us as individuals, I include myself in this as well, and for us as a congregation, is to keep our eyes open, to notice and pay attention to people around us, especially those who look different or worship differently or don't have some of the privileges and resources many of us have. God doesn't ask us to do things we're not capable of doing. We're not asked to heal the sick, but simply to care for them. Even the simplest actions can make a difference. Smile at the person you pass on the street. Send a card or note or email to someone to let them know you care about them. Buy an extra sandwich or bottle of water and give it to the person on the street corner. Take time to talk to someone you don't know and hear their story. That caring may be the most important way of living out our belief in a gracious and caring God who loves each and every one of us. A minister friend told a touching story at a retreat several years ago. His wife worked at a social service agency in a community that has long struggled to help the homeless. In the previous few weeks, 3 different men who were homeless and sleeping outdoors had died of exposure, and she was trying to rally support to open a temporary shelter. She had talked to churches in the past about the problems of homelessness, but hadn't gotten a lot of support. But this time, things were different. The men who died were part of the community. They had attended church and talked with people in town and shared their stories. Suddenly, the problem wasn't about the homeless, but about individuals. It wasn't the homeless who died. It was Bob and Jim and Jerry. And individuals in the church suddenly recognized that homelessness isn't just a problem that other people face. It's something that affects people they care about. The community found space for a shelter and donations to help feed the people who stayed there and enough volunteers to provide a warm, safe place for other Bobs and Jims and Jerrys to stay where they had when they had nowhere else to go. Jesus himself calls each and every one of us to be sheep instead of goats, to leave our comfortable lives for the discomfort and challenge of helping the least of these. Some of you are already doing this. Some of you are just getting started. Some of you are waiting for the right time. Even if you're not sure you're ready yet, will you take a deep breath with me now and let your faith in a loving God guide you? Because God's world needs us, maybe more than you know. Amen.